Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats, health and wellness advice for women over 40 and beyond with Amanda Thebe. This is a show full of hot topics specifically for hot women. Amanda Thebe is a force of nature for women who are experiencing menopause hell and want to start feeling healthy and fit in their 40s and beyond. Through her very frank articles, podcasts, and hilarious social media presence, she's here to help you with informative advice while making you laugh like a 20-year-old throughout. Her raging fans have called her an unstoppable inspiration, resilient bitch. Please visit us at fitandchips.com. And now, here's your host, Amanda Thebe.
Hi, welcome to this week's episode of Fit and Chips Chats. I'm Amanda Thebe and I'm speaking to Virginia Rodriguez today. Virginia and I met in Houston and we've met in person, which is unusual for me on the podcast. Usually I just have only met them virtually. And I've had a coffee with Virginia. It was great to chat with her. And I love her approach to health and wellness. Virginia is an integrative nutritional health coach. And she's certified by the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. And she's also a certified health coach. And so I've got Virginia on the show today because we're just going to talk about lots of things to do with nutrition, lifestyle management, and optimizing your health to the best of your ability with some tricks along the way. So welcome to the show, Virginia.
Thank you very much, Amanda. Thank you so much for the introduction.
Do you know what's really hard for me to say is integrative. I didn't even say it right then.
Integrative. Integrative, yeah.
That's just not a word that the English use. That's like such an American word for me.
It's just
like, that's crazy. So anyway, yeah, welcome on. It's great to have you here. So Virginia, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into like the business, how you got into health and wellness.
All right. So I've always been involved in sports and wellness my whole life. I'm from Spain. I grew up in Spain and my family business was sport clubs and sport camps. So I ended up working with the family for, you know, many years before I started my own career in business. And I spent about 20 years working for some of the best multinationals and startups around the world. And then when I was living in New York, after 8 years living in New York, I thought that I wanted to take my passion for health to the next level. So I said, I want to do this for life. So I want to certify and I want to have my own health coaching practice and just take it to the next level. And that's how I got into it. But I've always been involved in the industry.
Yeah, and you're here in Houston. What brings you here?
So here in Houston, we moved to Houston because of my husband's job. It was a great move. And to be honest, I didn't know I was going to like it that much.
Yeah, we love it, don't we? Both of us were saying how much we love it.
Yeah. We like the people, the weather. For what we do here, I think it's a hub for medical innovation and a hub for health coaching in Houston. So it's a good place to be, I think.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. And I've met some amazing women, you included. We met at the International Club, I believe. I've only ever been to one event.
Yes, that was a good social event.
Yeah, it was. So let's talk about some of the things that you deal with in your health coaching. And let's just talk about how like our worlds sort of collide a little bit when we do coach, you know, people that come to us. And one of the things you like to talk about is your brain health. And I like this because to me, when it comes to health and wellness, it doesn't matter what food you eat or what exercise you take. If you don't take care of the top of the pyramid, which is your brain health for me, then you're losing big picture. So tell me what brain health and what coaching in brain health looks like to you.
Okay, so that's a very interesting topic because you know what happens? Because we don't see our brain, because we don't see it, we didn't take care of it as much as we should. You know, when you have a pain in your back or your leg or your knee, you can see it, right? So you tend to look after it. But the problem is that we don't see our brain. And when I discuss this with my clients, I say, listen, we have to start looking at our brain health in a different direction. Alzheimer's is going to triple in the next 30 years. The disease starts, you know, decays before the symptoms start. And things like depression is a risk factor for many different conditions like Alzheimer's and cancer and obesity. And so I look really carefully and very closely to some of the research out there. There is a doctor here in the States called Dr. Amen. And he says that we need to increase our brain reserve. And a brain reserve is the brain tissue associated with increased resilience when we face damage or change. So put it in a different way, the bigger our brain reserve is, the better we can deal with life events without affecting our brain health.
So,
and that's what Dr. Arnold talks about.
What exactly is brain reserve? What does that look like?
It's like the ability to cope with everything that life throws at you without being affected by it. So, and the good news is that our brain doesn't have to deteriorate. Our behavior accelerates or decelerates the damage. So there's a lot we can do with nutrition and lifestyle management to preserve our brain. So just because we're getting older, we shouldn't imply that we're going to get, our brain is going to disappear, or we're going to get a lot of cognitive issues, right? Of course, part of that is part of age, but there's a lot we can do with nutrition and lifestyle management.
I come from a marriage where my partner's, I'm going to start that again. So Virginia, my husband's dad actually had Alzheimer's, and I know quite a lot about Alzheimer's purely because it was in our family. And there's still a lot of unknown about the hows and whys people get those type of diseases. But what you're saying is the research is showing that we can maintain a good brain health if we are proactive as we
grow
older.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And so what does that look like?
So we need to look at certain things, different things in our life, right? One of them, we need to understand the biology. About 60, 70% of our brain is fat. So we need the right nutrition, the right kind of fat for our brain. That's one thing, right? Then only 5% of our genes are about fixed genes that can mutate and generate a disease. So we can affect about 95% of our genes with nutrition and lifestyle management. So diet, exercise, sleep, allergies, toxins, brain injuries, all that has an effect on brain health. That's why we have to look after that, our biology. The other one is psychology. And that's what Dr. Arman talks about. And I love what he says. He says, do not believe every single thought that you have. Talk back to your thoughts because they are not always right. It's a way to separate yourself from your thought, from what you're thinking. And by doing that, we become healthier in our brain. He also talks about upbringing, life events, body image. If something happened to you in your life, if you have a past trauma, fix it. The sooner the better, because that means you're going to be able to cope with it a lot better, and it's not going to be affected. Your brain health is not going to be affected as much.
All I was going to say, Virginia, is that we also know that by focusing on the, like, for people who are looking for like weight loss or nutritional benefits, we know that unless those issues are actually dealt with and focused on, that you're not going to achieve anything by losing weight.
Absolutely.
You may not even lose weight if you don't put your focus to the reason why you got where you are.
Absolutely. That is so, so important. The sooner, the better.
Yeah. So sorry. And his last point that you said that he deals with?
So he talks about two points. One is spirituality. He calls it spirit. And he says, that is the purpose of life. That is what you're meant to do in this life. What is your heart telling you to do? What is your vision? Because when you know what your vision is, you don't even have to follow it. Your vision is pulling you. And that purpose is amazing. It's great for our brain health. And the last point is connection. And he talked about connections with people, not just online or just on the phone, but face-to-face. The thing is that health is contagious. So if you want to do one thing to get healthier, find the people in your community that make you happy, that loves you, that you love back, and they are healthy, and you're going to get healthier as well.
Well, I love that. Health is contagious.
Health is contagious.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fantastic. So it's about connecting with people on a daily basis, and you're going to be happier and healthier.
Well, we know that one of the studies that recently came out about the secret to longevity is about connection, right? That's what it was. It wasn't about walking every day or eating well. It was about the people that you connect with. And I think that you're right. When I know about myself, if ever I get in a slump of some sort, one of the last things I want to do is be around people and connect with people. Yet when I put myself out there, that's when I start to feel better. And we understand that that's like something that is a positive role thing that we can do. And one of the things I try and do, and I try and encourage any of my clients to do, is to actually like you know, put down the phone and go out and meet people. Like, actually, remember when we used to like go to someone's house for a cup of coffee or meet, like we did, we actually met for coffee because...
Yes, exactly.
There's something so positive about doing that. I mean, actually, for me, even picking up the telephone and phoning someone instead of texting them has the same type of sort of like impact on me. So if you can't physically meet them, go old school, phone them. I think it's huge.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and there's research coming about that saying that loneliness is one of the main reasons of disease. It is. And so we need to be aware of that.
So let's just go back to one of the points that you were talking about the things we can take control of with our brain, the 95% of the control that we have over things that will happen. And one of them was nutrition. And so let's talk about the omega-3s, because that's something that rather than just people, not everyone listening to this really understands what that means. So,
yes. So
I know we do, but it's really sometimes good to pull it back. So what does that look like every day to someone who's listening?
Yeah, exactly. So fat actually is so important for us. Fat causes inflammation, and our body needs inflammation to fight infection. The problem is that our body should be able to turn on and off that inflammation as necessary. That's why we need the right kind of fat. And the other thing is that, like we said earlier, 60-70% of our brain is fat. It's also good for our heart, and it's also good to maintain a healthy weight. If we have the right kind of fat, we can maintain that healthy weight in for the long term, right? And the other thing is that our hormones are built on fat. They are built on cholesterol. So be careful when they say your cholesterol is too high. Well, it cannot be too low either, because if it's too low, your steroid hormones, your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone is not going to be built the right way. So we need that kind of fat. And that is the monounsaturated fat. So all the omega-3s, the extra virgin olive oil, fish oils, avocados, that is the fantastic fat that we need for our brain and for our body. Then things like saturated fat, you probably have heard a lot about it. So yes, we can have red meat and butter and cheese, but in moderation. It's not the everyday thing. And if it's grass-fed butter and grass-fed beef and high-quality cheese, even better, right? Yes. So those are the ones that we want. The ones that we need to be careful with are the trans fats. The trans fats are in fast food, processed foods. All those are inflammatory oils, and we don't want those in our diet, right? We want to minimize all those vegetable oils that you see, like sesame oil, corn oil, safflower oil. All those are inflammatory oils. So we want to stay away from those. And then you probably have heard of nuts and seeds. All of those are fat as well. Those are the good components of omega-3s and omega-6. So nuts, like whatever you like, macadamia nuts, almonds, Brazil nuts, they are phenomenal. Chia seeds, seeds like chia seeds, flax seeds, they have the right components of omega-3s and omega-6.
Yeah, and just to even add to that, we'll just let people know that like omega-3s are the things in our body, that the fats in our body that help control inflammation, and then omega-6s in our diet are the ones that help promote inflammation, and we need some element of that because that's how our body's way of protecting us. If we get hurt, if we injure ourselves, we need the body's ability to have inflammation happen. But like Virginia said, it has to be in the right balance. And so when you're eating fats, don't be scared to eat them. We're way past the 80s of the low-fat diet. Fat's an important component in our diet, but it's just one component compared to the rest. You know, the rest, we need a good proportion of proteins and carbohydrates and then the fats as well. So try and have a mixture of everything, like a little bit of butter's fine and some steak's fine, but make sure you're looking to prioritize those omega-3s, like she said, the oily fishes, the fish oil if you need to take a supplement if you're not getting enough of it, and the flax seeds and the nuts, great. Avocados, stick one in your smoothie, it tastes so good.
Like that's
actually my favorite way to eat an avocado, is to stick it in a smoothie because it just gives it this silky texture.
Great texture, yeah.
And I also make a chocolate pudding with it, and oh my god, yeah, it's so good.
That sounds awesome.
So yeah, so that's a very easy way to sort of like focus on brain health. And as well with me and my menopause work, I always tell ladies, don't be worried about having even a little bit of fat on you, because you need some fat to have good hormonal health.
It's you need it, absolutely. It's necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially through menopause, as our estrogen starts to drop, our body starts to produce some from some of its like visceral fat tissues. That's the stuff that's in like in your belly as well. So don't be freaked out by a little bit of fat. It's not the end of the world, is where I would like go add
good,
to that as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so that's awesome. So we know that focusing on brain health is essential about the psychology of being present and like being in the moment as well. And so can we like sort of like lead on from that? Because like one of the things that you like to talk about is the power of like positivity and realization and like really looking at the way that you talk to yourself and how it can matter and how it can help with it, help us in our life moving forward, right? That's something that you focus on a lot.
So the visualization
tools that you use, can you just talk about them and how you perform them?
So visualization tools are very powerful for to increase performance in general. So it's very valuable for athletes, business people, everyday use, anybody could use the visualization tools, because what it does is that you put yourself a little bit in the future of what is coming. You visualize yourself performing the task, you think about how it's going to go, you offer your positive thinking, and you actually feel it. You feel it, you breathe it, you're actually in it. And then when that time arrives, you're going to be more prepared because you've been there before. So it's like, this is what you want to achieve. And then, bam, when you're achieving it, you're already there. You've been there before. So it's very, very powerful.
So what does that look like? So give an example of how that might look.
So for example, if you have to give a presentation or you're going to have to, you have an interview or a meeting, so you prepare for it. Preparation is key. And you think about what you're going to say or how you're going to feel, who's going to be there, what are the questions that they're going to ask, how you're going to react if that happens, what are you going to say, practice it, right? And then just try to visualize how it's going to go. What are you going to wear? How many people are going to be there? How long the event is going to be for. So just put yourself in that situation beforehand. And when it's in your mind and when you're feeling it and breathing it, it means that it's actually happening. So you're going to be more prepared for it.
And I know that I've read some stuff on Michael Phelps. That's what he does. He spends a lot of time doing the visualization of all of his races coming up. And rather than focusing on things that may go wrong, he focuses on how he will swim that race, like down to every stroke. Like he knows how long his turn will take. He knows what his body should feel like. And he said that that alone is one of the things that has kept him at the top of his game. I mean, I don't think so, because clearly his training and his nutrition and all of it's the whole package. But the power of visualization, I think, it's huge. And I know that I go into a lot of situations and I wonder why I'm not as nervous as I am about certain things. Like if I'm getting up to speak to people or if I'm going to meet someone who's influential, that petrifies me. And usually it's because I spend time prepping to go into it. And it can be like things I'm going to say, potential questions that might come up, how quickly I'm going to speak, what I'm going to wear, you know, anything. Just think of all of the different elements to a situation that's somehow stopping you progressing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you seen Lindsey Vonn this year visualizing the race minutes before or beforehand? He's actually almost on the spot, just trying to ski and trying to visualize with her whole body. Even her arms are skiing right before the race. And she's actually visualizing everything that is going to happen.
Yeah. No. Who is the name of that person? Sorry.
Lindsey Vonn, Olympic skier, world champion.
Right. Yeah. No, that went over my head. I don't know them, but the thing is, that's a great example. Or you've got an athlete that's using this as part of their training. And when it comes to people like us who just have something that's like a roadblock for them, I mean, like one of the main issues that I feel like the people that follow me is through menopause is that they've lost their way. They've lost their vision. They've lost the person that they once were,
you know, exactly.
So like, think about, sit down and think about what it is that you want to become again, where you see yourself going, and then what the roadblocks are that are going to stop you. And I often say as well, like when you do this like visualization, when you look forward to where you want to be, you've got to honor where you are right now. Don't be down on yourself. Completely honor the place you are. Look to where you want to go, and then like come up with a strategy to get there. And usually women come to me and it's like, I need to lose 10 pounds. This is what I need to do. And when we pull back all of the layers of that onion, that's really not the focus we need to be looking at. The things that we need to be looking at are the journey to get to where they need to be. And if 10 pounds happens along the way, then good, but it probably isn't the main reason you need to be working with me. It's usually because you've lost the person you've become, and you need to find, like, get that vision back.
That's a really good point. Exactly. Yeah. That's a really good point. It's like one of my favorite doctors, Bernie Siegel, he says, fake until you make it. It's like, do as if you're there already. Do as if you become that person. Visualize it and do as if. And I love that. Fake until you make it. Because that is, and he's like, and if you have to work with a coach together, go ahead. But he put it in a nice way.
Of course I love coaches because I am one, but one of the things that I do myself is I find a coach for whatever thing I need. If I'm really struggling moving forward, I have no problem reaching out for help. And that's something I never, ever used to do. And it's been a bit of a game changer for me, because I consider myself the eternal student. And that by working with a coach, even if you feel like you know it, even if you feel like you've got the education and the background behind you, having someone steer you in the right direction, giving you and working with you and giving you these landmarks, like these timestamps to say, you know, this is what we could be working towards, and these are the things that we can be doing to get to that next step. That's the way visualization can work in an everyday environment, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
And so you talk about, Virginia, you talk about in your coaching about escaping the matrix and finding your tribe. What does that mean? What does that mean to you?
You know what it is? We grew up in a way that everything is set to us. We're taught to do things, and we're told to do things in a certain way. And we just, those are patterns of behavior that are acquired since we were born. And we just go along the way and do them because that's what we've learned. And that without even realizing it, we are acting as if everything has been given to us and that is the way it's supposed to be. And there we go, right? And by escaping the matrix, what I'm saying is that actually, what if there is another way of doing things? What if you looked at things from a different angle? What if you decided to do something different from your brothers and sisters? Or what if there is, you know, when they say, I think outside the box, what if there's no box? Maybe there's no box. It's not just thinking outside the box. There is no box. You can create your own box. So that is escaping the matrix. That is going outside from our behavior that has been learned since we were born and doing things differently because we are a different human being. We have our essence. We have ourselves, right? And we need to find who we are and go ahead and just implement it in life. And it's creating your own box, basically.
I actually would add to that as well, because it's interesting. I think it's maybe just the time we're in and just how we've evolved in over time. I mean, when I left school all those years ago, gosh, I can't remember, like 30 years ago, there was a path that you had to take, you know, and the path for me, most people learn was you either went to college and university in England, or you went, if you did well at school, you could maybe go and work in a bank and a finance. And that's what I did. I remember getting all my O-levels and working in a bank and thinking, oh, this is it then. It's really boring. And it wasn't actually until like my early 30s, and we had an opportunity to leave the UK and move to a different country that I moved to North America. I realized that I didn't need to work for like that corporate world anymore, and that there was so much more out there. And that's when I think I, like, a light bulb moment went off for me. But many of the women who are listening to this podcast are going to be the same age as me and may even still be in that mindset of like, we were always told to do this. This is what we were told to do at school. We were told to
that's
do
what
that
happens. Exactly.
By our parents. I mean, most of our parents were in like jobs for life. And then I look at like people moving around now in their jobs, and the world's so flexible there with a company for 2 or 3 years. And that's like, that's expected and even accepted as the norm now. And so that's all I would say about that is I feel like we've evolved and the world's evolved. Like, God, I'm working for myself now. And I love the flexibility in the direction my job takes me. But in a million years, I never thought that this was possible.
Exactly. And yeah. you found your way. Your own way is that unique way.
Exactly. And like my son says, he is on the spectrum slightly, and he would say to me, when people say, like, think outside of the box, he says, yeah, I'm more of a triangle than a box. And I like that because it's just like, yep.
Totally. That's what it is. Exactly.
Yeah, do your own thing. And when you say, like, find your tribe and find your true nature, that again comes back to this brain health as well. Surrounding yourself with the people that support you and support your vision, and also...
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, helping you find direction. So, you know, I'm bringing it back to me because I'm just an example of one of a thousand million people, but just like my fitness and health world has now brought me to this place where I'm talking about menopause, and there's so many people that could have followed me that could be sitting there rolling their eyes thinking, oh God, listen to her waffle on all the time. But actually what's happened instead is all the people that have followed me have supported me and said, you know, it's so good that you found this one thing that you're talking about, because it's really helping me, or it's helping me understand my wife, or I'm really glad that you're talking about this because I know my daughters are going to go through this. And, you know, so just go with it, because people don't usually judge you. You'll find that the majority of people on your side will have your back. And if you do find that you're on a path that people don't support, well, then I would take a look at that relationship and just see if that is something that actually suits you moving forward. And I know that in fat loss, what I've noticed is that, you know, sometimes there's people in your life that may not support your journey if they see you losing weight or they see you getting healthy, because it might like not sit well with them. There might be a bit of jealousy or envy.
Maybe a threat, right? They might be
a threat. Yeah. And that happens. That's human nature. And that's the time when you may need to let go of people that really don't support you and your health goals moving forward. The saboteurs in life don't serve you any purpose.
Exactly.
And yeah. And one of the gifts that you get of getting older, you can just drop people and let them go as often as you want. That's like one of the things that you have less cares.
And when you say find your tribe that we talk about, is find the people who you love and who love you back. I mean, love you back. It has to be like that, right? That kind of synchronicity.
Yeah, that's great. I completely buy into that. But I have to also say, in addition to that, I think the people that you need to drop off are very few and far between. Most people, if you've surrounded yourself, you've like created your life to have all of these wonderful people around you, will help you move them forward. So don't be afraid to reach out to those, that tribe, and use them. Use them for your strength, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So moving on to the last part of our conversation, because time is getting away with us. It's great when this happens, when we delve deep and we like really use this conversation to help people.
It's fantastic. I love it. Yeah.
But we're pre-recording this, and this will be going out the week before Christmas. And Christmas and the holidays, because obviously Christmas isn't for everyone, and the holidays in general, can be a time for indulgence, of which I love indulgence, by the way. And it's trying to find that balance of like being part of the holidays and the celebration and the relaxation that comes with the holidays, but also like keeping some element of control and having some strategies moving into the holiday. So what Virginia and I thought we'd do is like give you a few hints along the way that would like help you really enjoy yourself in a guilt-free way, that mean that when the holidays are over, you just continue on that path without too much change. And so that's what we're going to talk about now, isn't it, Virginia?
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, when I talk to my clients about mindful eating and getting ready for the holidays, first thing I say is that, okay, what is your strategy? Think about it. How do you want to tackle the holidays, right? And you might have different options. One of them might be, you know, I've been doing really well. I've been taking care of my healthy weight, and I'm so happy, and I'm going to continue like that. So I'm going to just move along through the holidays with a mindful eating approach, and that is fantastic. Other people might say, you know what, I've been doing so well that I'm going to relax. I'm going to indulge a little bit. And if I put on a few pounds, then I will lose them afterwards. That's another approach. And then the third approach might be, you know what, you know, holidays are to have fun. I don't want to think about whether I'm eating or drinking too much. I'm just going to have fun. I'm just going to go with flow and do whatever I want to do. Hey, that's another approach. But if you want to go through the approach of mindful eating, I have a few tips for you. So the first one is plan in advance what you will eat and won't eat. And that is a good point. That means that you're visualizing a little bit. You're having a strategy. You're saying, okay, I might not have the dessert, but I'm going to eat these two couple of things and I'm going to just be fine with it. So it's about thinking ahead and having a strategy ahead of time. The other strategy, the other point is choose as if you were at home. Like sometimes we think, well, if I'm at a party or at somebody's house, I'm going to go crazy a little bit. I'm just going to eat everything. So why is that? It doesn't happen. It doesn't have to be like that. Just plan and choose as if you were at home and be true to yourself. You can do that. And then eat with all your senses. And that is what I mean by mindful eating. Mindful eating is to be fully present, to look at the flavor, the taste, the color, and to be fully present in the now. And that is about mindful eating. It's about eating with intention, to eat something good and nourishing for yourself, and about the attention to the detail of what you're eating. And that is a great, great strategy. It can be even increased if you're meditating. Like if you meditate a little bit every day, you're training your brain to be fully present and to be in the now. And the research studies are showing that is absolutely fantastic for brain health and body health. Don't you think, Amanda?
Yes, wonderful. Yeah, that's a great approach to it. And I think that you don't even need to think about all of the things that Virginia said. Just like pick one or two that you're going to use as that strategy and then start practicing it now. Like, so, you know, if you know you've got a big event coming up and you, like she says, if you just want to let go, then do that, fine. Just know that it's about your ability to cope and carry on afterwards, right? If you think it's going to be detrimental to your progress, then you do need strategies. And as well as like the visualization, which I really like, you know, you're going to a party, you're going to a dinner party, and you have an idea of what's going to happen, just be, you know, try and focus on what that's going to look like so that when you're in the moment, you can just go and enjoy yourself and relax. A couple of like bit more of more practical things as well, I think you can do is if you're going to eat a meal, focus on the things that are going to fill you up more. So eat the protein first, like, so then you don't start picking on all of the other stuff. So that's just an easy approach, you know. If you want to drink and you're concerned about drinking too much, alternate that with a glass of water. I think that helps as well.
Absolutely.
That's just a really easy thing to do. And then my thing that I always go to with everything is start understanding what your body cues look like. And that's eat slowly and don't eat until you're full. Stop at about 80% so that you don't sort of like go crazy and you feel like you need to undo your button on your trousers or wear stretchy pants. You know, like just like be in control of like the amount of food you put in. And again, that's where your senses come in. Like eat with all your senses. That's a great way of putting it. Like nourish yourself, taste the food, enjoy the food, enjoy the company, because that all matters in the moment.
Yeah, and I have a couple more if we have time.
Yeah, let's do it.
One that I really, really love is remember that the event is more about the people. That is a great strategy in the sense that we need to leave the food in the back of our minds sometimes. And when you go into an event, sometimes meeting new people, asking different questions or getting to know somebody even better. Or if you go into an art event or a cultural event, you know, there are so many other things that are more important at that point than just the food, right? So it's about leaving the food in the back of our minds a little bit and focus on the people and the culture and the topic of the event that you're attending, right?
Yeah. Also, who wants to speak to someone with a mouthful of food? Well, not me, because I hate people that eat and talk at the same time. And you're going to dribble it down your chin. You're going to have something stuck to your hairy face. And anyway, yeah, don't eat and talk. Don't socialize and talk and eat at the same time.
yeah, exactly. And also, another thing is that attend the event well-fed. You know, some people say, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to eat throughout the day, and then I'm going to compensate when I go to the event, and I'm going to indulge a little bit. Actually, another strategy that is a little bit more helpful is when you had a normal day. You had your breakfast, and you ate when you were hungry, and you had your meals, and then you had your water throughout the day, and you are very well nourished by the time you go to the event. So in that case, when you have to make a decision on the spot about what you're going to eat or drink, it's probably going to be even better because you're not going to overindulge.
Exactly. Super simple ideas. And like I said, maybe pick one or two and just be mindful of them. Maybe try and visualize what that looks like. And then at the same time, you're giving your brain some healthy vibes. Isn't that right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's so important to actually think about it a little bit beforehand, because when you're trying to make a decision and you're right there on the spot on the day of the event and you haven't thought about it, what chances are you going to make not a great decision in general? That's what happens, right? So if you thought about it beforehand, you're ready.
That's great. This has been so practical and so insightful as well, Virginia. I'm really happy you came on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. Absolutely.
And Virginia, if anybody wants to contact you or follow any of work that you do, where can they find you?
Okay, so they can find me on my website, which is Cholera Health Coaching, ColoraHealthCoaching.com. They can also send me a text or give me a call at 718-877-5851. We'll be more than happy to speak with anybody who wants to follow my work.
Yeah, that's great. I'll actually pop that in the description as well, so people can follow along. And you're on Instagram too, right?
You pop on Instagram, on Facebook, LinkedIn. So yep. Twitter, they can find me there as well.
Follow you along the way. Okay, well, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you so much.
And thanks for listening, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on the services offered by Amanda, please head over to her website at fitandchips.com. That's FITNCHIPS.com. Or her Fit and Chips Facebook page. Leave a comment and she promises to respond to all questions. The views and advice expressed by Amanda Thebe are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always contact your healthcare provider.